Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio. Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio. Welcome, everyone. So nice to have you, as always, with me on the couch. Today, another fabulous show. And if you saw some of my social media, we're talking about polyamorous relationships today. One of my favorite subjects. It's a pretty controversial subject. I mean, here in this country, actually, not in Europe and many other countries. But, you know, speaking about multiple relationships and stuff, there's been speculation about a lot of celebrities who say that having open relationships has helped them to stay together as couples. I'm thinking of Brad Pitt and Angelina. They were rumored to be in an open relationship. Apparently, Angelina shared her thoughts on monogamy back in an interview, wow, it's over 10 years ago, with a famous German magazine. And she said, quote, "I doubt that fidelity is absolutely essential for a relationship. It's worse to leave your partner and talk badly about him afterwards." So that's kind of interesting. Also, how about Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher? They split up, gosh, I think it was like late 2011. And all those reports started emerging that the couple had been in an open marriage. And there was an unnamed source. I always like the unnamed sources. Who told Radar Online that, quote, "As long as Demi knew about Ashton's flings, she was fine. It was the sneaky ones when he got caught that infuriated her." Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. And how about Will Smith, Jada Pinkett Smith? They've been kind of trying to swat down those divorce rumors for about 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Been going on a long time. But back in April, about 3 years ago, Jada wrote on her Facebook page, "Will and I both can do whatever we want because we trust each other to do so. We have a grown relationship." So you guys may say out there, okay, this is Hollywood. Come on. That's how these people are. And these couples are always exposed to fans and other people throwing themselves at them. So it may be hard to resist. They're so exposed. But what about us regular folks? You know, are you tired of conventional issues that come up with being with just one person? And you know, say to yourself, hey, you know what? I'm going to look for many relationships to satisfy my many needs. And how do you guys feel about women who want to do that? Not men, but is there a double standard, do you think? Yeah, I know. You betcha there is. And we're going to talk about that and what it means for one woman to be with three men. And be very public about it and how, you know, you can deal with that kind of thing. My special guest today is Pauline Middleton, and she's amazing. She is an author of a really, really well sold book, bestseller, as we may say. It's called One Woman, Three Men. And she's been a modern love coach since 2010. We're going to find out what that means. Danish by birth, she holds an MS in economics. She's worked extensively around the world. She's lived in Paris, Algeria, Hong Kong, visited 36 states in the U.S., and worked for several companies in sales and marketing until she decided to become a coach. And as you read from her book, you'll get a lot of great information from her coaching information and what relationships are all about. And of course, she'll tell us her story, but she had a lot of different types of relationships. And Pauline actually lived with the three men model for a nice period in her own life. And she's conducted scores of in-depth interviews with folks who live in either open or, as we call them, polyamorous relationships. So let's welcome her to the show right now. Hello, Pauline. How are you?
Hello, Michelle. I'm fine. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, really? Fun to have you on my show because I've been wanting to talk to you about your book, One Woman and Three Men. And, you know, it's just sort of how it came down to, you know, you writing this book. So why did you kind of get into this system for yourself? In other words, why did you invent the one woman, three men model?
Well, after I was married to the father of my daughter, mm-hmm. and that did not really work out. You know, he had a very hot temper, and after 6 years, I just couldn't take that he were kept getting enemies, you know, my best friend, my dad, our neighbors, and so I divorced him.
Okay.
And at that point, I was, you know, I was starting to look around to my my friends and the relationships that they had. And I've always had quite intimate talks with my friends, both male and female, you know, about how things are.
Right.
And I could see that a lot of them were actually struggling with this, you know, the monogamy, or you could say the monopolization of each other. Because, you know, some of them were cheating on each other.
Right.
Others were wanting to do it, but maybe holding back. But still in the mind, they were sort of absent.
Right.
Or they were, you know, having a really bad time with each other.
Right.
And, you know, I was quite devastated in my love life. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll just kind of, you know, give up and just not have any boyfriend.
Yeah.
it's so difficult.
Right.
I mean, even though people were insisting, oh, no, you know, we have a great relationship.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Fine. But then they would turn around just like you're saying and, you know, okay, well, how does it actually work?
I mean,
many of them were not so satisfied.
Right, exactly.
And, so I sat down, you know, as you mentioned, I'm an economics major and I have a systematic analytical approach to life, at least sometimes. So I sat down and said, okay, what good is a man to me?
Uh-huh.
And then I wrote down a number of areas that I like to share with a man.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that maybe there would be 3 to 4 points on the list, so I could just kind of live without a boyfriend.
Yeah, okay.
But as you've seen in the book, there are 26 areas.
Yes, there are. So can you you tell us, okay, I want a man for this, and I want a man for that, and I want a man to fulfill this thing, because you can't find all that stuff in one man. You know, sometimes when I see couples in therapy, you know, you've got men and women going at it, you know, and a lot of times the women say, well, you never do this, or I want you to be more of a man and do household chores, or I want you to be a better lover, or I want you to... So how did you kind of fix that problem? What were some of the categories that you decided to, you know, just put each man into and help fulfill your needs?
Yeah, you know, when I wanted to date, I knew that I couldn't come up with 26 areas. You know, I mean, I would never respond to a profile like that.
Yeah.
So I looked at the list and said, okay, what are the most important areas? And one of them is talking. I love to talk and discuss things and talk about politics and the world and so on.
Yeah.
And another area is sex.
Right.
I like sex. And I like, you know, some people think that all men like sex and it's important to them. But I find it's different the way men treat sex.
Yeah.
You know, some are like, okay, it takes 12 minutes and that's fine.
Right.
Every now and then. And others really dig into it and explore the sexual, you know, possibilities and so
right.
on. And I wanted the guy in the second category.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I lived in an old house, and I needed help with practical stuff, because I'm very good assistant, but I'm not good at, you know, finding out how to actually do the things.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So then when I was sitting there, you know, looking at those three areas, I figured, okay, I'm going to go look for a guy to fulfill these three areas. But then I said, no, I'll look for three guys, one to fulfill each area.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can kind of see, okay, where does it go wrong? Where am I doing something wrong? Would I like them to switch roles? You know, what would happen if I did like this? And
right.
then I started dating three men.
Interesting. So, you know, as opposed to maybe what we were talking about at the top of the show when I was mentioning some of the celebrities who've decided to have polyamorous relationships, because it's very difficult being in this world of, you know, meeting people and having to travel, and in men's cases and women's cases who are celebrities, you know, people throwing themselves at you. And it's sometimes hard, and I'm not making excuses for them, believe me, but sometimes kind of hard to resist. So as opposed to your model is, hey, I don't want to go out and have a bunch of sexual relationships and, you know, just experience a lot of guys for, you know, their bodies or just having fun with. I'm going to do this as an experiment, and I'm going to have one man who's a handyman, one philosopher, thinker, creative artist, and another awesome lover.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, so how, no, so that doesn't mean you're against monogamy. Right? I mean, you're not, you know, you don't. No,
it doesn't.
Okay.
No.
All right.
But I allowed myself, you know, in the beginning, I was like saying, okay, I had these three roles, and in order to go on a date with me, you need to pick one of the roles.
Right.
And the guys, you know, they were, I got a lot of responses.
Oh, I bet you did.
I created this online dating profile, and many of them said that I was lucky because they were a three in one. I said, no, you need to choose one role.
Right.
And then they chose a role, and, right. And, you know, but that was like, the roles they had chosen was maybe stable for a couple of months, and then things started to kind of be much more dynamic.
Right.
Also because I let it be more dynamic. So at some point, I was having a sexual life with two of the guys.
Well, that's the way it goes, right? I mean, come on. A guy's not going to go, look, I'm cool and I'm into this polyamorous relationship, hence the word amorous. So, you know, I'm going to be your fix-it guy. I'm going to be that guy, you know, who fixes things around the house, that manly man who does all those, you know, left brain kind of things. And, by the way, I'm going to accept that I am not that guy, that hot, sexy guy that you have sex with. I'm just going to be the guy who comes in and, you know, gives you a little peck on the cheek and then fixes your house and goes away.
Well,
I don't think many men would.
Three, four times.
Okay.
But then when they found out, okay, I don't have a chance of actually outmaneuvering the guy in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'll just stop coming.
Okay.
And that was, you know, that was fine because everything was communicated directly, and that was a big relief.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of, you know, polyamorous men who contacted me, and then I spent time with them.
Right.
You know, so it everything was much more open than it was in the regular dates, where you're like automatically going into this monogamous construction and so on. Here, everything had to be discussed.
Yeah.
And that is really the strength of this model, you know, that you don't take anything for granted. You need to talk about it.
Right.
And the men needed to kind of, you know, get in there and say, hey, but I also want this. And
right.
I said, okay, well, what are you willing to give? Or what are you willing to do? You know.
Right.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I bet, Pauline. I mean, it sounds like it was fun, and I know you're doing something else now because it was rather tedious, and we can talk about that too because I think it's fascinating, you know, to think about, you know, just being with one person and trying to hang in there and all that. But frankly, I don't know. I'd be pretty exhausted trying to juggle everybody. You know, even if you're able to hang out, giving like three relationships the amount of care and feeding and maintenance can be kind of a full-time job. I mean, I'd be getting confused. You know, I'd be calling one guy by his one name and the other guy by the other guy. I mean, it's it's like a full-time job.
It was confusing at times. And also at times I kind of, you know, lowered the intensity and was maybe only seeing two guys.
Or
one time I was even only seeing one. But, you know, then I could always kind of go up in gear again and then say, okay, now I want new answers or new men, you know.
Yes.
Are you up for it?
Exactly.
So I was much more taking charge of my love life than I had before, where I was more sitting there waiting, you know, to be found by a great guy.
Yeah. Okay, so this was a social experiment almost for you.
Yeah.
So you were still cool and open to the prince coming into your life and you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Who could.
That was. But I was also, I felt, you know, at some point I was not so ready to just leave the model. You know, I wasn't jumping as easily into a possible relationship as I was before.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a number of women that I've also coached since,
yes,
are, and me included, you know, I was easily constructing a romantic castle about concerning a date that I was on before,
yes,
this model.
Yes.
You know, because I was so, it was like, oh, yeah, sounds nice, and he's almost like a soulmate to me, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And whereas with the three men, there was continual time for that. And that was
right,
great,
right,
you know, because I didn't get my mind working.
Well, that makes sense, you know. By the way, in case you guys just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Pauline Middleton. She's the author of the book One Woman, Three Men. We're talking about polyamorous relationships, and are they comfortable to be in? Are they fun for a little while? Can they last? How do other people feel? And another important thing that comes up is the double standard. I mean, we've accepted forever that a man, because they need to kind of procreate the species, go out and hunt and, you know, bring home the bacon and all that stuff. So they get to do that. They get to have polyamorous relationships throughout history, and it's more accepted, of course. And like I said, in other cultures, in other countries, rather than the United States. But is it kind of a double standard, do you think?
Yes,
yeah.
I definitely think so.
Yeah.
And I was confronted with that double standard in myself.
Yeah.
Because when I had to define, you know, the profile of the lover, I was, you know, I wanted to be quite specific in my ad or in my profile. And then I said, okay, well, I want to have sex. And then I said to myself, okay, how often do I want to have sex? And how,
yeah,
much? And what,
yeah,
kind?
Sure. Of course.
So, and then I figured, okay, if I write, I want to have sex every day.
Mm-hmm.
That would say kind of slot on my forehead.
Yes.
But if I said once a week, that was not really true.
Yes.
So I ended up in the profile, I said 3 to 4 times a week, mm-hmm, or whatever we are up for.
Yes.
So I was kind of opening up.
Yes.
I was also thinking about doing this under a synonym.
Yeah.
And, you know, with a false picture. But then I was like, okay, then this can really be complicated. You know, it's not my real name. It's not my real photo.
Right.
I won't do that.
Right,
so,
right. Which a lot of
up,
people,
you know,
do, by the way.
Sure.
Do, yeah.
Sure. And
yeah.
I understand that because our culture is so monogamous, and that's the only, you know, the ideal is to meet your high school sweetheart, get married, love each other until you die.
Right,
but, I mean,
right,
when we look at the way people are acting, that's not what's,
sure,
happening.
Exactly. So, Pauline, do you recommend this model for women of all ages? What do you think about that?
Yes, I
okay.
do. I think, you know, the 25-year-old woman will use it differently than the 72-year-old woman who contacted me a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm,
and was just really loved the model.
Mm-hmm.
And it has given her something great in her love life.
Yeah, well, that's good.
So I think, you know, it's up to, it can really be used to kind of make you much more aware about yourself,
right,
and your priorities in love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can, I mean, we all redefine ourselves a couple of times during an entire lifetime.
Sure.
So it can be used for that whenever.
That's true. So you're saying also the men that you were involved in for a while, you know, that fulfilled the particular roles, philosopher, lover, and handyman, were they out having other relationships as well? And were you cool with that, of course, or did they not? Did they just sort of want to be with you?
Well, that was different. I mean, it differed. Some guys just wanted to be with me and,
mm-hmm,
wanted to kind of get the other guys out of the picture.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And other guys were having other relationships as well. And
right.
And since, like, you were, you know, talking about the fact that it is difficult to get a deep relationship with three guys at the
sure,
same time.
Sure.
Simply, you know, the time and your whole involvement in it. You know, I wasn't that emotionally involved with these guys.
Right.
It was much more of this, you know, trying to actually find out what is important for me, what is important in love,
yes,
what signals am I sending. And, you know, it was actually becoming conscious in love.
Right.
Instead
interesting.
Of being romantic and dreamlike.
Oh, that's interesting. I really like that. By the way, guys, in case you just tune in, you're, you know, if you want, you're welcome to call in 323-203-0815 if you have a question or comment for my guest, Pauline Middleton, the author of the book One Woman, Three Men. We're talking about polyamorous relationships and, you know, the double standard. that women can do that too, you know. Or you can email me, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Let me know how you feel about this. If you have any questions or comments. I was curious, how did your friends and family react to this three men model in your life, Pauline?
Well, in the beginning, I didn't tell anybody about it.
Well, yeah.
I was just, you know, I said, okay, let me see if this works at all.
Yeah.
Or if I want to kind of run away screaming after 2 weeks.
You're so funny.
And then when I found that it was working, I was like saying, okay, well, I told a couple of friends about it.
Yeah.
And then I didn't really involve my family in it until the book was about to come out.
Yes.
And at that point, I also, you know, was thinking quite a lot, okay, what am I going to do about my daughter?
Yeah.
Because she was 12 by the time the book came out.
Sure.
And she's 18 today. And she was, I didn't want her to feel to be involved in this project at all.
Right.
I've been dating these men every second week when she was with her dad, so she hadn't met any of them.
Yes.
One.
Yes.
So I said to her, well, you know, now I've written this book. It's about adult subjects,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to come out, and I'm going to be on television and radio, but I don't want you to see any of it or hear any of it.
Right, right.
This is not for you, because you're a child and I'm a grown-up.
Yes.
And then... and if people ask you about the book, you know, just tell them, oh, yeah, you know, my mom has many crazy projects, and this is one of them. You know, I wanted her to be able to kind of not get involved. And,
right.
you know, she has, it worked.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about it, and she didn't have to talk about it either.
Well, that's good. And now she's a grown woman, so she's sort of gets it, and she's cool about it, right? She's understood that was a social
cool
experiment.
Well, and she is. She heard my speech for the first time about the book just a couple of weeks ago in Malibu.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, I'm really proud of you, Mom. And that warmed my heart.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, I also did this because I thought that, you know, when I was 19, I thought that we would have changed some of these things that don't work in relationships.
Yeah.
By the time I was 50. Now I'm 50, and we still haven't changed it.
There you go.
You know, we're still battling with the same issues.
Well,
and I'm like, okay, well, I'll try this one, and I'll spread the word.
Yeah.
So that there will maybe be some more models for her to try out.
No, that makes sense. You know, I mean, hey, I have a question here that came in on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Looks like Alluria. That's such a cool name. I love that. And her question is, there is a guy who I really like, and he suggested that we have a polyamorous relationship. I am pretty cool and open to that because there's some other guys that I would be interested in as well. But how can I deal with jealousy? All right, Alluria, thank you for that question. well, this is all yours, Pauline. I'm going to just stay out of it right now. How should Alluria deal with her jealousy?
Well, she should, first of all, welcome the green monster in her life at a certain level.
Okay.
Because we all have jealousy in us.
Yes.
And then she should, you know, gauge it at regular intervals. I mean, if it gets to be that it fills her up and kind of eats her mind, then she should seek professional help for it.
Yes.
Because it can destroy you.
Yeah.
But quite often, or I would say jealousy, I characterize that as an egotistical feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Because it all happens inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And a large quantity of what you're imagining is not true.
Right.
You know, so try to minimize it as much as possible.
Right.
I mean, you may imagine that the partner that you care for is doing something very interesting with this other person,
mm-hmm.
but in fact, the partner may be sitting and having a boring meeting in the bank.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you
exactly.
don't know.
So, right.
as much as you can, let go and then, you know, go for the ride.
Yeah.
If he wants a polyamorous relationship and this woman also feels like it,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, try it out. The very important thing I've identified after interviewing many people who live in polyamorous relationships is that you need to be very good at feeling yourself.
Yes.
You know, and signaling in a nice, considerate way to the other person, okay, this is going too far.
Yes.
Or, hey, yeah, not enough is happening on my side. Everything is happening on your side.
Right.
Now I feel left out.
Right.
You know, so you need to be able to actually voice all of these emotions that we're not used to voicing.
Right.
So, you know, train yourself in that.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you know, don't start a polyamorous relationship and think that everything is going to be solved and just happy-go-lucky by that, because
yeah,
I haven't met anybody who did that.
Right.
Because it does break in a number of ways with our traditional ways of looking at love.
No, exactly. It's true. You know, and thank you for answering that. And thank you also for emailing us, Aluria, at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com if you have questions or comments about, you know, the subject of one woman, three men. And also, we're going to tell you how to get the Pauline's book and find out more about her and some of the other stuff that she has written, which is also really good. So I would keep on listening, guys, because we are welcome to hearing from you if you have any questions or comments about the concept of one woman and three men. So, you know, I just wanted to share that sometimes I have, you know, worked with couples way in the past who... I can talk about it. I wouldn't mention anything privately, but quite a few couples who say, you know what? We've been together a long time. We're kind of bored with each other. So we're going to try this polyamorous thing. We're going to go to these swinger clubs or these swinger parties, and we're going to just try to meet up with other people. Most of this is all about sex, though. This is not about, well, I'm going to have one guy in my life who is the handyman, you know, one guy in my life who's the philosopher, poet, you know, romantic, and the other guy who's just the sex person. So this is more, I think, probably about just sexual exploration. But sometimes what I've heard is that, yeah, one or two of the individuals meets up with some of these people at these gatherings, and they kind of start to like them. And
yeah,
and then
exactly,
they start sort of, you know, dating them more or seeing them outside of the, you know, monogamous relationship. You know, they go to these things together and they agree to, you know, do whatever, and then they come home together as a couple, but sometimes they split. In other words, either of the other people get really interested in someone they've met, and then they kind of start like, oh, you know, I'm going to be home late from work Friday night. I just might have a drink with Jane, who I met at the swingers party last weekend. Is that cool with you? And then that starts being really, wah! Terrible.
What?
Yeah.
It was just sex.
That's
now
it.
It's kind of spreading and developing. And
that's
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. But I think the good aspect of this is that you can talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, if we look at all the adultery going on,
yeah,
all of this is happening without people talking about it. And like you just said, with these famous movie
right,
stars,
right,
you know, what hurts is the secret aspect.
Yes.
The thing that I thought we had this kind of relationship.
Right.
And it turned out I was alone in this kind of relationship.
Right.
And you had another thing going.
Right.
That really hurts.
Right.
And but, you know, if you feel that your partner is there and your partner doesn't want to break up the home and doesn't want to break up a lot of the good things you have,
right,
then maybe you can kind of get to accept it over a period of 3 months, 6 months, a year.
I yes.
mean, let's not think that it just takes a week for you to get to accept it, because
yeah,
it doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to, and your partner needs, if he wants to or she wants to kind of keep with you, he or she needs to be there in this process.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. We have another straighttalkdoc@gmail.com email coming in here, a question. It's from Jenny, and I was going to kind of put this out there too as well, so it fits in perfectly. She says, hey guys, great topic. I don't think I'm into the polyamorous thing, but I want to find the perfect man, and I want him to be, let's see, insightful about himself, good looking, a great sense of humor like mine, has money, and has great social skills, and who I can have wonderful sex with. Well, okay, I'm laughing because yes, it's like, it sounds like, you know, this is what everybody wants in a partner, and I'm just talking about women, I'm talking about guys too. You know, we all want all these fabulous things. So what would you say to Jenny to So she doesn't want to do the polyamorous thing. But what would you say to her to try to help her sort of figure out how to get all these kind of qualities from one man? Or how would you counsel her? Because you are a great counselor.
Well, I would say two things. I would say that she could try to use this three-man model in the sense that she could use it to kind of qualify, let the men qualify themselves.
Yeah.
You know, she might not define her role with sex. Mm-hmm. She could just use it for dating, saying, hey, I'm looking for a guy with self-insight. And I'm also looking for a guy who has humor, mm-hmm. and I'm looking for a guy with great social skills.
Right.
And
right.
then she will ask the guys to actually figure out, oh, I'm all three. Mm-hmm. Or, well, I'm a really great social guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to have a social time, that will be with me.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the way the model helped me, you know.
Right.
It kind of, I was on much better dates with this model than I was before.
Right.
Because normally when you go on a date, you have a long list of things.
Right.
That you're sitting there with.
Right.
More or less
right.
concrete.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, good humor, sure, yeah, but I
yeah.
mean... social skills, mm-hmm. yeah, how good, how far, how, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So use such a thing as a gauge, you know, use it as a, okay, you qualify, this is what I'm looking for.
Right.
I may not, and that's the second thing I would say, well, one partner may not fill all your needs.
Yes.
I mean, exactly. the great yeah. social skills is uh-huh. maybe going to be with a good friend or a couple of good friends.
There you go.
You know,
you go.
Or the humorous part is maybe going to be with somebody else.
Another friend, yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you create a strong relationship by actually not fulfilling all your needs,
mm-hmm.
because you will not continue to fulfill all each other's needs.
Mm-hmm.
We are dynamic people, and we develop, and of course you can choose again to fulfill each other's needs, but
sure.
it doesn't happen automatically.
Right.
So I mean, the more you can actually become aware of who you are and what you want,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
be able to communicate directly about it, the mm-hmm. better chance you have of getting a good love life.
Right. Good answer. Jenny, I hope that Pauline helped you on that answer. Good one. And thank you so much for emailing us here at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. You're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio and my special guest, Pauline Middleton. She's the author of the book, One Woman and Three Men. Controversial subject. Still in this country, not in a lot of European countries, not around the world sometimes, because, I mean, it is a bit... I don't know. I think men get away with it and can, and it's a lot more accepted. There's a double standard there going on, of course. I was just going to say to Jenny, too, that, you know, if you're not into doing that, and rightly so, if you would like to find one guy that fulfills all these needs, think about the fact that, just like Pauline suggested, maybe you can get your social, you know, like... it's stimulation or whatever from just hanging out with friends, being with friends, being with people who you enjoy socializing with and doing other things with if your man cannot fulfill that particular thing. But I would also say, you know, what you need to do is find and define your deal breakers. I think that's a really big one. Define your deal breakers because, you know, what are you willing to settle for? What is more important? Does he have to be good looking? Okay, fine. All right, great. Is he really have to be funny and perfect in bed? Well, maybe those are the top three that have to be great. I don't know. I'm just saying. We have a caller on the line here on the couch. Shall we take this one on, Pauline?
Yes.
All right. Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Michelle and Pauline Middleton. Who's this?
Hi, Dr. Michelle. This is Stephen.
Hey, Stephen. How you doing today?
Doing great. Hi, Pauline. Thank you so much for such a great show. It's definitely made me think a lot about just how emotionally you can allow yourself into, you know, how emotionally you can allow so many people into your heart.
Right.
And in alignment with that, I had a question for Colleen, if that's okay.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering, how do you manage the time, and not only the time, but the emotional stability when it comes to, you know, having, you know, or you know, being available to three separate men?
All right, good question.
Yeah, well, thank you, Stephen, for that question. That definitely was a challenge. And I think, you know, also from my interviews with polyamorous people, I know that that is a challenge, because it's actually not very often that two people's needs are coinciding.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have three people's needs who need to coincide, that creates even more kind of, you know, trouble.
Yeah.
Right.
So
I could only imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's also why I say that this model with three men is something you should do for a period in your life. I did it over a period of a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these periods I had three men. I was seeing three men, you know, I was maybe having coffee with one guy in the afternoon, and then dinner with one of the others in the evening. Or other weeks I was not seeing any of them, you know, because I was just, ooh, this is too much, but maybe talking on the phone or so on. But it forced me, because there was all constantly somebody out there to get my attention and to wanting my contribution, it forced me to be more straight with myself about, okay, what do I want?
Yes.
You know, because I think, and that's, I still see that many women, also some men are like that, but, you know, a majority of women are like wanting things to work out, so they will be doing this and that and whatnot in order for things to flow. Mm-hmm. And they can sometimes forget themselves in that notion. And that was definitely my problem before this model.
Right.
Wow.
That's a good answer. Well, you know, hopefully that answered your question, Stephen. I thank you so much for calling in here on the couch. It was great hearing from you.
Absolutely. No, Colleen, I think you're an extremely strong woman, and that's really powerful that you're, like, you've been able to develop that ability to, you know, feel the beautiful aspects of, you know, multiple different people, and then just, like, learn more about yourself through that experience. I think that's really, really powerful. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephen.
Have a good day, and thanks so much for calling in here on the couch. Take care.
Thank you so much, Dr. Michelle. I love your show.
Love you, too.
Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye now. That was a good question. We did kind of, you know, talk about that a little bit earlier. And so what I also wanted to know, you know, there's a lot of things going on, you know, in our relationships. And I think what happened was, I think we just got disconnected here. Let me see if I can get back. There she is. There she is. All righty. So we're back with Pauline, and we were just, you know, I want to get to the good part, Pauline, okay? This is the good part. This is what I like. So you did this as a social experiment. You know, you saw how it went and everything. But let's talk about your segueing into real love and finding the love in your life. How did that come about? And I know you're happily married right now, so can you share that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, after this year and a half, when I had lived dating three men, then I was, I fell in love with a handyman, and he fell in love with me. And then, you know, I stopped seeing the other guy.
Yep.
And then I was with him for a couple of years, but then he had to move to another part of the country. I mean, I couldn't get, you know, move with him because I had my daughter and my job.
So
we stopped again. Then I went back to the model for another year. And then I said, okay, now I'll stop dating and I'll evaluate my experiences. What have I gotten out of it?
Yes.
And then I found out that I had, I've had some great experiences with guys, with talkers, you know, talking guys. And that was also often what had led from the talking to the sex.
Yes.
So I knew that the talking aspect was really important for me.
Yes.
And I even redefined it somewhat, because I had also found that I was very much into talking about my different projects, like I'm a writer and love coach, and I want to, you know, I'm constantly developing new ideas and new things.
Yeah, yeah,
and
exactly.
I wanted to be able to share that with a man.
Right.
And for him to accept that every now and then I was not present because I was writing or whatever.
Right, right.
And then the sex part was important.
Yes.
Whereas the handyman part was maybe, you know, okay, we could actually hire somebody to do that if it
was.
If I wasn't, you know, it wasn't all that important that I found, that I had thought in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I had figured this out, then I started dating, looking for one partner because I wanted a deep emotional relationship with a guy.
Yes.
And I started dating, and I really controlled myself in terms of not going off on the romantic castle screen.
Yes.
You know, I said to myself, okay, I can be romantic about this, but let's look at reality. What is this? How is he? Who is he?
Right.
Okay. And then deciding if I wanted to meet again, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, the 10th guy I met, you know, we just instantly were attracted to each other. Then I said once again, okay, let's sit down, talk about things, see what happens.
Yes.
But, you know, over the next couple of, what, 3-4 months, we just really, I mean, we fell for each other completely. And then he moved into my place, and a year later we got married.
Oh, well, congratulations. That's awesome. So it's important to become, as you say in your book, love conscious. Right?
Yes.
Do you think people can become too conscious of love?
No, because they are becoming conscious of themselves, and once they're conscious of themselves, they will also ask their partner, you know, well, what do you want?
Right.
And they will be better. They will actually increase their capacity for listening.
Yes.
Because they also want to be listened to.
Right.
But there are this. The important part here is, you know, define the 3 most important areas.
There you
go. And don't compromise on those.
Right.
And compromise on all the rest.
That's really, really a great answer. And that's, you know, kind of interesting. And that's, I think, what we told Jenny, too, who didn't want a polyamorous relationship. How could she juggle all these, you know, qualities? You know, sometimes people aren't, we can't be everything to one person.
No.
We can't, we all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. You know, and you get to choose which ones that are, like you said, Pauline, that are really important to you, you know.
Yeah.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then things can develop, of course.
Yeah,
you know, there may be one more area that will develop. But, you know, I've met a lot of people in my coaching that have more unconcrete expectations to love.
Yes.
You know, like, I want him to make me feel good.
Yes.
Okay, well, in what manner? Oh, well, you know, I feel good. Yeah, you define how would you like him to make you feel good.
Yes.
Well, okay. And, you know, then people would have to go home and think about that. And
right.
The next time we met.
Right.
Because the more concrete you can actually be with your partner, the better.
I was curious about how your family and friends reacted to this. I know we talked briefly about your daughter, you know, and how you didn't want to expose her to your social experiment. So what did your family and friends say to you when they found out about what was going on here?
Well, the major concern was, what does other people say about this?
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
That was like, are they thinking that you're a bit of a, you know, a slut? Or what is happening here?
Yeah.
So it was quite interesting that, you know, in the beginning, for instance, my parents didn't really like the book. But then their friends started contacting them and say, oh, this is a great book your daughter has made.
Yeah.
That's really, really to the point and daring and very brave. I love that book. And then they were like, oh, okay, well, then maybe we'll read it.
Right.
And
exactly.
So they did.
Yes, exactly. And it is, you know, with your economics, a postgraduate level economics degree, and, you know, you worked in the field for so long. I mean, you do look at things from an analytical point of view. It's sort of like, in a way, the book, too. It's a practical point of view about fulfilling one's needs. See, I think we could look at it that way. So I think that's a really good point as well. So what about, real quickly, how about men? I mean, the thing is I know, can men use the model too? Of course they can, right? But there's a bit of a problem because, you know, a lot of women just really don't go for it. I think, how do you think this will go for men if they use this model with the three or four women.
Well, I think the competition among the three partners would be the same with women. They would try to outmaneuver the other ones.
Yes.
You know, they wouldn't want to share unless the premise in the beginning is sharing. You know, because some women are also just out there to, you know, have a good time and kind of have whatever one-night stands and so on.
Right.
So, I mean, it is possible.
Yeah.
I would actually like to, you know, challenge men to be more honest about what they are doing.
Yes.
Because I think that's what we need.
I do, too.
So, I mean, go ahead. Try it.
See
who might like it.
Yes. I think it's all about honesty. You know what I'm saying, Pauline?
Yes.
It really is. It's about here's what I'm thinking. And and if the man you're with or a couple of men you're with just say, no way, I don't want to do that, then that's fine. We'll just move on. I'll find maybe somebody else to do that. But
as long as the premise is clear, you know, you can say yes or you can say no.
Yeah, exactly.
And a small detail on that was that when I started with the model, a number of women were kind of offended on men's behalf.
Right.
Saying, oh, I think you're using men.
Right.
But, you know, 98% of the men said, oh, it's so good to meet a woman who knows what she wants.
Yes. Interesting
stuff.
I was
like, ooh, isn't that interesting?
That's right.
Yeah, because, you know, I want to make a woman happy, but it's so difficult to find out what she needs.
Right.
Oh, and I was like, oh,
that makes
okay.
a lot of sense.
So, you know, that's a piece of advice for the women. You know,
exactly.
Be as clear as you can.
That's right.
Because he really wants to be there for you if he loves you.
Right. And as it all turned out, you ended up meeting your Prince Charming, and you are now in a monogamous relationship with that special guy. So, and I am an advocate of that as well. I mean, that's the thing, you know. I'm just saying, hey, if you're into polyamory, fine, no judgment here, whatever. But there's a lot of emotions that get mixed up. It can cause a lot of depression, anxiety, a lot of inner turmoil. So, you know, it's probably you need to do what you need to do for you. You know,
and, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but there's one thing I would say, that if you're not having an active sex life in your relationship, you know, don't pretend or don't tell yourself that your partner is not having an active relationship
exactly.
with somebody else.
No, exactly.
I mean, if you're not having it, there is a high probability that your partner may have it with somebody else.
Yeah.
So deal with that. You
exactly.
know, is that fine? Okay. And you don't want to hear about it. You don't want to talk about it. That's fine, too.
That's right.
But maybe you do want to talk about it.
That's
so,
right.
So, you know, I'm all for talking more directly about what is actually happening between men and women, and women and women, and men and men.
And I think there would be a lot more healthier relationships. Well, listen, Pauline, it's about that time already. We've got to wrap things up. What is the best way that... I know! This goes so fast. What's the best way that listeners can find out more about you and get your book, One Woman and Three Men, and also your other novels that you've written?
Yeah, well, go to onewomanthreemen.com.
Good.
And there you can read the first couple of chapters for free. And then you can, you know, follow the links and so on and order the book from Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any other nice bookstore close to you can get hold of it.
Lovely. Fascinating read, Pauline. Fascinating social experiment, and as I call it. And, you know, learn a lot of life's lessons, and now you're with Prince Charming, so good for you. All right.
Thank you very much, Michelle. It was great talking with you.
A pleasure having you here on the couch. Stay in touch and take good care of yourself, Pauline.
Okay, I will. Thank
bye
you.
Now. Great.
Thank you.
All right. That, you know, I always love intriguing subjects like that because it gets us to think about what we really want to do in our lives and how we want to go about relationships. I'm not necessarily an advocate of polyamorous relationships. Causes, like I said, a lot of strife, but you have to kind of be ready for it emotionally. A lot of people aren't. Hey, thanks for listening, guys. I appreciate y'all being on the couch for this intriguing subject today. as always, love to have you. I welcome your comments, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you will be great for other people. That's the way it works in the world. Thanks for listening. Bye. Flashing rays of colored light.
just